welcome friends. Boy, what a gift to just spend a moment just like, ooh, wow. Maybe we could all just take a deep breath or two and just kind of just be present in this moment. Jesus, thanks that you're here. We need you and we love you. Amen. I'm Bill White. I'm one of the co-pastors here. My pronouns are he, him, and we're just so glad to worship together with you today here at City Church of Long Beach, where we are a radically welcoming community on the journey towards Jesus, joining him in the renewal of all things. And it's good to be together. We love our kiddos. We love the kiddos at this school and our kiddos of our congregation and kiddos in our community and our world. And so we like to pray over them. So our friend Amanda Gutierrez, who's going to help with our youth today, she's going to pray for our kids. So if you'd welcome Amanda, she comes up to pray for us today. Thank you, Amanda. Thanks for loving our kiddos well.
Open to. Hello. If you'd bow your heads with me. Dear God, we just want to thank you for this beautiful sunny day that we have and our ability to nurture the youth here. I just pray for their minds today, that you would open their minds to learn something new, Lord. Find a way to interact with this information in a way that builds community and their self-esteem. And just that you would bless the older people who are helping to facilitate those sort of radical changes, Lord. I just pray for this community, the community of kids at the school. May we be interacting with them in a way that shows your light, but also empowers them, Lord, to be the people that you want them to be. We love you and bless our kids. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much. So kiddos up to junior high, go with your leaders, and then youth, you can go with Amanda and Billy. And yeah, there you go.
Sorry, a little bit of feedback. Judy, do you have a preferred side? What do you think? That one? Okay, sure. All right. Well, we'll see what happens with our feedback as we keep going. Hi, friends. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Brenna Rubio, and I'm one. Okay. Here, I'm going to do a test. 1, 2, 3. Keep talking. All right. Seems like it's going down, maybe. What do we think, Esther? I think that's better. Yeah. We got it? All right. We love our whole crew who helps set us up here and keep us running with technology. It is not an easy task. So appreciative. You know, I'm okay just switching to this. Here, if I can
turn my sound.
This is always a good option. I'm Brenna Rubio, one of the co-pastors here at City Church of Long Beach. My pronouns are she, her, and I am joined by our friend Judy Kim.
Hi,
good morning to Judy. We are in the middle of
Is it my mic, maybe? Hello? Mic test.
It's just 1, 2, 3. This morning.
Okay.
All right, want to try?
Hello?
All
mic
right.
Test. 1, 2, 3.
Okay. We're good. Yeah, so we're in the middle of a series. What we're calling the therapist series, because we have all these amazing, talented therapists in our midst. And Bill and I basically just asked them, hey, would you be willing to come be our conversation partners, thinking about wholeness and following Jesus from a therapist perspective, so we can kind of see how these things really connect. They're not in competition, but they really actually connect. And I'm loving the feel of our service so far this morning. It's been so wonderfully mellow, and I just have this feeling that Judy and I may continue that theme, possibly.
Yeah, what do you think? I think people would say that I'm a pretty mellow person.
Yeah, it's feeling like this is a good setup for us. Judy, tell us just a little bit. I mean, some people know you, some people don't know you as well. What kind of therapist are you? How did you come to this profession?
Yeah, before I became a therapist, I worked at a Christian university working with college students. So during that time, I became aware of mental health issues like depression and anxiety, and just saw a really big need for mental health counselors and therapists. So that's how I came to the profession. And I would say I'm still a newish therapist, just graduated last year. Currently working at a nonprofit, working with underserved, low-income population. So working with all ages, from like little kiddos to 60 years old. Yeah. Oh, so all ages.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. So much insight that you're going to bring to us from that. Tell us too, just a little bit, like how did you come to City Church and get involved here?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out when I started coming to City Church. I came to City Church in 2021.
So middle of the pandemic.
Right out of the pandemic, when church came back to meet in person again, that's when I started coming out to City Church. So that was 3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
It feels to me like you've been here longer than that.
Yeah.
Like I have trouble remembering City Church pre-Judy.
Yes. Oh, I don't.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's my experience. Yeah. Because you've been involved in so many ways, often kind of behind the scenes, like helping make meals, setting up the breakfast for our friends at New Hope who do grief work. Like you've just been a very stable presence.
I found different ways to get involved and feel like I was part of this community. Mm-hmm. And City Church has been so welcoming and accepting of me. So I just felt right away like I was part of the community. So I'm so thankful that I found different ways of serving at church.
I love that. Yeah. And not only today have we gotten you to agree to come and be up on stage, which I know is, you know, a little bit of a stretch for you. It's a step of courage, but you're joining the board today.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. As one of our developers. So thank you so much for all the ways that you are saying yes.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation to serve.
Yeah. Oh, so grateful. So our topic today, and Judy got to really pick it in many ways. All of our therapists, we said, what do you think we need to talk about? Like what is the thing that the church does not talk about enough from your perspective as a therapist? And so Judy and I want to talk today about anger. Which, I mean, when all of you look at Judy, what you think is like, you know, Judy looks like a very angry person, right? But as it turns out, both of us would say that we struggle with anger. Many of you, I know from conversations, would say that you struggle with anger. And Judy, you actually told me that you felt like this is the sermon you always wished you could hear. Like that there's just something that's just like, oh, if only they had talked about this in church when I was growing up. So tell us a little bit more about that. Like how has anger impacted your life, and how do you see it impacting the lives of others?
Yeah, I struggled with anger a lot. I've gotten better at managing my anger, but especially I would say like later 20s and in my 30s, I struggled with anger. I was angry at people in my family, struggled with jealousy in relationships, and I would kind of suppress how I dealt with my anger was to suppress my anger.
Shove it down,
like try really hard to control it, not lose my temper. I had an image of myself to kind of uphold, like the image of like the kind, gentle, quiet, you know, Judy. And I tried really hard to maintain that image. So I actually didn't know, I didn't understand my anger or really know what my anger was about. And I would suppress it until I would kind of blow up. And then that would lead to a lot of like shame and guilt and feeling bad about myself, and also really feeling like I had some kind of a character flaw, like something is deeply wrong with me, that I have so much anger and I don't know how to control my anger. Yeah, and then, you know, with working with clients who come to therapy for help with anger, they also, you know, suffer kind of frustration and, you know, why can't I manage this? Why is this so hard for me? Mm-hmm. And anger hurts, you know, their relationships as did mine. My anger ultimately led to just relationships ending. Clients would, you know, have a lot of guilt and shame. Some of them would lash out, even use physical violence, or sometimes to substance abuse. And sometimes they turn anger inward towards themselves and engage in self-harming behaviors and things like that.
Anger has profound effects on us, yes. Basically, right? Like, yeah. It affects how we think about ourselves internally. Shame cycles that we spiral into. It affects our relationships and whether or not we're as close as we want to be, if we're kind of withholding ourselves, if we're actively harming our relationships. And the church has not helped us. If it's talked about anger, we're going to get more into this, it's often talked about it in ways that actually don't help us, right? Yeah. So what we're coming in today is saying we need to talk about anger, whether we tend to stuff it or we tend to go straight to the explosion. We need to talk about anger, and we believe that God might actually have something to teach us or something to heal within us today as we do. So I would love to invite up our friend Minette Brabe, who's going to read our scripture for us this morning. Would you welcome Minette? And then if you're willing and able to stand, we'd invite you to do that just in recognition of God's word. Hi, Minette. Thanks.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. James 1:19.
People of God, this is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Minette. So Judy, tell us a little bit more. From your perspective, why do we struggle so much with anger? Why did you?
We all struggle with anger, right? Because if anger is a human emotion, it's a healthy emotion. It is a natural response to threat. And some amount of anger is necessary for our survival and well-being. But we don't have a good understanding of anger, right? Because of culture, what we're taught in the church, in our families. So we don't have a good understanding of anger. Culturally, socially, we're kind of given the message that anger is a negative emotion that is really, really not okay to express, not like things like sadness, which is more acceptable to express. Right? So we don't really learn how to be aware of our anger and use it in a productive, helpful way that helps us to get what we need without causing harm to others. So,
did you experience that yourself growing up? That sort of sense of being told that anger was not so good?
Yeah, so I'm Korean. I was born in Korea and grew up in the Korean culture and in Korean American culture. And so I was always taught like to be quiet and, you know, to be to not be assertive. You know, don't speak up even when you feel like you're being hurt. Something feels hurtful or wrong. I wasn't taught to be assertive about, you know, things that felt like rejection. You know, I was kind of like put down for being a daughter instead of a son. And that felt like rejection, or things that felt unjust. You know, like, for example, my grandma would be very critical of my mom, and I thought that was so unfair and unjust when my mom is doing all this to, you know, help take care of the family. So those things like that, that I had to, like the things that felt hurtful, unjust, rejection, I had to stuff them down and like not say anything. You know, I just had to be like quiet. And it was more common in my culture to see men being more assertive. So there's like gender differences and expectations and stereotypes. So it was more common to see men being more assertive. Another example from my personal life. So in my marriage, I struggled with anger. And I felt a lot of shame. I felt like something, like I said before, something was wrong with me. Again, something was deeply flawed, and I just couldn't stop being angry. I didn't know that under my anger was a feeling of powerlessness, that I was not able to change my situation. Because at that time I believed, I was taught that divorce was not an option, so I didn't see a way out, and feeling of powerlessness, you know, fed into my anger. My boundaries being crossed, not having agency over my body. Those were some of the reasons that were under my anger, but I just didn't know how to name or identify at the time. I just didn't know how to do that.
I love how you're already pointing us towards like where we're going, which is that we get to look under our anger. We actually get to start asking our anger some questions about where is this coming from, and like what do I need to pay attention to? What I was also hearing in your stories was, okay, there sometimes we pick up ideas about anger being bad from our culture, just kind of society around us, definitely from our family, and like what seems to be okay or not okay in our family in terms of how we deal with anger. And then earlier you talked about the church too, right? Yeah. That the church gave you some messages, whether direct or indirect, about anger.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I ever heard of anger being talked about in the church as a good thing, or even just kind of a neutral thing, that anger could be a helpful thing. In church, we talked a lot about, you know, what are the fruits of the Spirit, right? There's love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering, goodness, you know, gentleness, self-control. So that felt to me like those were the opposite of anger.
Mm.
So anger seemed to be the opposite thing that you just try to avoid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Anger doesn't seem to be on that list. Right? I mean, that's an interesting thought experiment, right? Can you picture anger being on the list of fruits of the Spirit? And if so or not, like, why not, right? But what if there is something good about anger? Like, maybe that's not exactly a fruit of the Spirit. I don't know what it ends up being. Maybe a branch. Anyway, we'll play with that word picture. But yeah, that it feels like often in the church it's telling us, like, holy people aren't angry, right?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Right?
Yeah, holy people, if you're holy, you're not angry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, because that would mess with the whole glowing white halo and, you know, all the things, right, to have that picture. And yet, we're going to mess with that in a little bit. I do just want to make a note, and I think we'll just kind of say this as like an aside. So Judy and I both, we talked about this, we both tend towards that sort of repressing anger, that's what we learned in our families, that's our personality kind of bent, is that sort of shoving it down. And some of you can probably really resonate with that. And others of us, you know, maybe it's what you picked up in your family, or it's just kind of your personality bent. It's how you've been shaped and formed that you tend to explode pretty quickly. And that these are both kind of normal, maybe not helpful, but normal ways that different people express anger. So, Judy, I think we'll shift to thinking, so if the church has tended to tell us one thing about anger, holy people don't feel anger, maybe think about what are some better ways to think about our anger, not even just what we do with our anger, but even just how we conceptualize it at first. What are some better ways? And I remember as you and I were talking, one of the questions that came up for us was asking, well, is this the church's job? Like, should the church talk with people about their anger? And is it the church's job to help people learn how to do anger well, right? And we were like, we kind of batted it around a little bit because, I mean, if you go based on like the church's example, many of us grew up with, the answer would be no, the church doesn't seem to think it's their job, right? Just saying, don't be angry. That's it. That's the instruction we get. And yet today we look and say, well, I mean, the verse that was read for us by Minette talks about anger, like somebody in the church, James is giving direct instruction to people. Hey, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become anger. And here's this other great one, Ephesians 4:26, we may put it up, be angry and do not sin. Leaders in the early church were actually talking about it. Anger is this thing that we all experience, and we should talk about it. And then more than that, we were playing with this, again, a little thought experiment, saying, can you truly be a spiritually mature person and not be emotionally mature? Right? Like, can you picture someone's like, oh, wow, like, they're just so mature, and yet, you know, they just scream at people every once in a while. And to be clear, I sometimes scream at people, namely my children. Not proud of it, but you just say, like, clearly, it's not just that I have some emotional work that I'm still doing. I have some spiritual work that I'm still doing, some wholeness. Yet then we're like, yeah, that's the thing. Jesus actually cares about us as whole people. And our emotions and our spirituality are actually linked, right?
Yeah, and Jesus cares about relationships, and anger affects our relationships.
Like when I scream at my kids.
Yeah. relationships with your loved ones, relationship to yourself as well, you know, when there's shame and frustration because of your anger. So, yeah, Jesus cares about me as a whole person, mm-hmm. in relationship with self and others. Yeah, so anger, yeah, we should talk about anger and learn how to do it well. Yeah.
So talk with us a little bit more about how we can picture anger. I mean, thinking especially about that second verse we read, be angry and do not sin. How do we feel anger and not sin?
Yeah.
Which is a loaded word, let's just acknowledge.
So I think it's important to distinguish anger, which is a human emotion, a feeling, and aggression, which is a behavior, an action, hostile action. You know, the goal is to harm, intimidate, threaten. So I think the verse is saying, feel angry. But, you know, your action, what you do with it, like, you have some control over what you do, what action you take. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see as we talk about, like, the stories of Jesus in a little bit that, mm-hmm. you know, anger can actually be a gift. It's energy that motivates us to take action. It helps us to identify problems, protects us from things that are harming us, you know, to protect us from danger. It's a way for us to pay attention to something that's going on. So, like, it's our body telling us to pay attention. You know, mm-hmm. it can move us towards making positive changes in our relationships. Helps us to move towards people. So fix things that are broken. Mm-hmm. So we can conceptualize anger as energy that can lead to positive action.
I love that. I mean, so when you first said anger is just a human emotion, I just thought, wow, for some of us, this is mind-blowing. Even just to have a neutral description of like when you get angry, you're just being human. For some of us, that in and of itself, to have just a neutral descriptor for anger is big. Mm. But then to move to a place where we can actually see it as, hey, this can be a gift. This can be positive energy, a cue for you to think like, how do I care for myself, for others? Like that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and it's so different from shaming yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? The shame, it's so such a different way of looking at anger.
Yeah, I mean, just to stay out of that shame spiral mm-hmm. is already like it changes things, right? To say like, I can just receive this.
Yeah, I think it did for me. Mm-hmm. It took me out of that shame, kind of the hole.
Yeah.
The dark hole of shame.
Yes, yeah. yes. We all know the dark hole. Yeah, and as you mentioned, I mean, another way we say, okay, like, we have to think about this differently. It can't just be that anger is bad, anger is unholy, because what we're striving towards, those of us who follow Jesus, in a very real and practical way is to say, well, we want to be more like Jesus. Like, we want to picture if Jesus were living our embodied life, how would he live it? Like, what would that look like? What would wholeness, full humanity look like in us, in our practical everyday existence? Well, that Jesus that we're following, he got angry. Like, we can see quite a few examples of that. And Jesus is supposed to be the example, right? He's the picture of full humanity. So you were the one who brought up this point, and I loved it. And for me, the first kind of classic example that came to mind was Jesus flipping tables in the temple, right? Because he's mad. People are getting exploited and excluded, and people are making it harder for others to connect with God. And so Jesus says, no, and he removes the obstacles in a not particularly subtle or gentle sort of way, right? He uses some energy. It is energetic. Oh yeah, and the whip, which was to drive the animals out, not to hit people.
Not to hit people.
I like to point that out. Jesus wasn't whipping the people; he was moving the animals.
Yeah. I was looking at the story of the man with the withered hand in Mark chapter 3. And the Pharisees are kind of looking at Jesus. Are you going to mess up? Like, you know, are you going to work heal on the Sabbath?
A little bit of a pressure situation.
Yeah. And Jesus asks the Pharisees, you know, should I heal this man? And they remained silent. They didn't say anything. And Jesus saw what was in their hearts, that they did not want Jesus to heal this man with a shriveled hand. And Jesus was angry. Jesus was angry at their response, because love and justice and healing was being blocked in a way. Those things were being kind of pushed aside. But what Jesus did was he healed. He was angry and he healed the man. He didn't lash out at the Pharisees. But, you know, he took action to love and heal this man. The children, another story in the book of Mark, the children wanted to come to Jesus, to be with Jesus and to be blessed. And the disciples were rebuking the people for bringing the children. And Jesus got angry. He was indignant. And he said, let the children come to me. And he touched, you know, and blessed the children. So he was angry and he took a loving, healing action.
Communicated his boundaries, like, hey, that doesn't work for me.
Right, yeah.
So, Yeah, what you said it was an example of what anger often does for people, right?
Anger often.
That anger often comes because people's goals are being blocked.
Yeah, so, you know, Jesus came to heal and to love, and, you know, if that goal is being blocked, there's going to be anger. And yeah, so anger underneath anger is, you know, sometimes that your goals are being blocked, your value-driven goals. You know, this is important to me, but something is blocking that action, so which leads to anger.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, so then that sets us up for our last few minutes that we just want to talk about. So how do we do that? Like, how do we start to ask those deeper questions, like what's really going on? What are some better ways to be angry so that we can shift from a goal of I just shouldn't be angry, like I'm just bad if I'm angry, to my anger can be a gift. It just, how do I hold it so that it can be a positive energy in my life?
Yeah, so I think that there are three steps that, just to kind of simplify things. First, you know, there is to slow down. You know, I think the verse says, be slow to anger. Like in my mind, it changes to be slow when you're angry. And I think that that slowing down, the power of the pause, right? Just stop. When you feel anger coming up, just learn to pause. And then, so that would be the first step. And then the second step is just to be really curious about what's going on. Listen to yourself as well as others. You know, listen to your emotions. And some questions you could ask yourself. Is my safety or well-being threatened? Has something happened that is wrong or unfair? Do I feel unloved, rejected, or disrespected? And then the last question might be, is something preventing me from reaching my goals, my value-driven goals?
Those are such good questions. If anybody didn't get all of them, because those are the types of questions I would want to scribble down, I'll see if I can get those from Judy and maybe share them on our Instagram or something like that, because those are good, good questions that we ask. You know, in the church, we have a thing that we just finished with a group of people who went through our tools conversations over the last 3 weeks. And one of the weeks we talk about conflict, which really, in a lot of ways, is talking about anger. And the tool that we use, it's sometimes called the conflict wheel when you're using it like with someone else, but there's also a way where you just use it as like the awareness wheel. And the first two steps are basically this, because it's just questions that you're asking yourself or statements that you're finishing for yourself, where the first one is just, I notice. So maybe I notice that I'm angry, right? I notice that all the muscles in my body just got tight. I notice that mentally in my head, I just punched someone. Anybody else have those flashes? We notice things. And then I wonder where that's coming from. I wonder what just brought that up for me, right? And it is, like, it's so powerful just to give yourself the freedom to ask the questions instead of just shutting it down. Okay, so let's assume we've asked those questions. We've have some insight into what's going on inside of us. What do we do next?
Yeah, so the last step is proceed. You know, decide what to do with that anger. You know, what action do you want to take? So proceed mindfully with intention. So decide what to do that, you know, could build the relationship. What is your goal? You know, identify your goal. Do you want to restore or maintain or, you know, correct something in the relationship? Do you want to share how you're feeling with the other person? Do you want to hear how the other person is feeling so that you can connect with them? Do you understand? Do you want to understand what they're feeling and experiencing? And what would help you get to your goals? And proceed mindfully, just being clear on what your values are, what is important to you, and how are you going to accomplish your goals.
And as you say that, this just occurs to me, we didn't talk about it specifically as we were prepping, but it might be good to mention just, and when you think about just not just in our personal lives, that's not the only place we feel anger, right? Sometimes it's as we're watching the news, right? There are larger kind of social issues, not just personal issues, where we start to feel angry, right? Because we see injustice. Because we see damage being done. Because, like Jesus, we're just looking and going like, this is messed up. People are getting hurt. And so all of the questions and the, hey, let's stop and think about what our goals are, they apply so well, not just for our personal lives, but even for how do we engage the world around us, right? Like, what are our goals when it comes to addressing injustice that we see? And how do we intentionally want to engage that, you know, in ways that we feel like might be helpful, would protect others, would accomplish, you know, the wholeness or move us one step closer? I mean, it's not easy stuff, but anyway, so that's just this isn't just the personal. It's also our larger picture of how we interact with the world. One other quick side note, or just kind of caution as we're ending is, just remember, we're not going to get it right all the time, right? That shame spiral is easy to enter into, even if it's just that we go, ooh, now we get it. We're going to do anger well now. And then you find yourself yelling. Okay, but do we notice that we're yelling? In our tools class, Bill shared a great example. I'm just throwing him under the bus a little bit right now, but just a great example for himself personally of a time where he was in a group recently and found himself yelling. And progress meant that he could notice in the moment, wow, I seem to be yelling. And he could take a moment and ask himself the question internally, what's going on with me? And then he could share that with the people he was talking with. Okay, here's what I really think is happening. And it was a beautiful, actually very healing moment. So we don't have to get it right, perfect, right? It's building awareness over time and finding more and more freedom in the pause to respond out of love. Yeah. So Judy, you were gonna help us just practice for a minute or two as we closed.
Yeah. So, you know, just to end with a simple practice of connecting to your body. Anger, when you feel anger, your body, there are sensations in your body, like your heart beating fast, you're feeling warm in your face. There are cues to your anger. So just to kind of wrap up, finishing with a mindfulness activity where we're just gonna take a few minutes to breathe and kind of scan our body to become aware of the sensations in our body. So if you would join with me in this activity, if you feel comfortable doing so, we're gonna begin by bringing your attention to your body. And if you feel comfortable doing so, you can close your eyes. You can take a few deep breaths. You can notice your body seated where you are, feeling the weight of your body on the chair. Continue breathing. As you take a deep breath, Bring in more oxygen, enlivening the body. And as you exhale, have a sense of relaxing more deeply. You can notice your feet on the floor. Notice the sensations of your feet touching the floor, the weight and pressure. You can notice your legs against the chair, heaviness, lightness, whatever sensations are there. Notice your back against a chair. bringing your attention into your stomach area. If your stomach is tense or tight, let it soften. Take a breath. Notice your hands. Are your hands tense or tight? See if you can allow them to soften. Notice your arms. Feel any sensation in your arms. Let your shoulders be soft. Notice your neck and throat. Let them be soft. Soften your jaw. Let your face and facial muscles be soft. Then notice your whole body present. Take one more breath. Be aware of your whole body as best you can. Take a breath. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes.
Thank you, Judy.